We're going to get into John chapter 6 today. So if you've been following along, now last week I was talking to someone. I'm not going to name any names. I'll point fingers, but I won't name any names. And so I was talking to someone last week, and they said, man, when you get up and you preach, trying to go through the chapters, he said, it stresses me out because I know how many verses are in each chapter, and I know there's just no way you can get through all the verses in the amount of time that you're giving yourself. And he said, so I'm stressed out for you. And so I just want to remind everybody, we are not going to preach every verse in chapter 6. There are 71, that's how many I'm not going to preach today. There are 71 verses in chapter 6. We're going to hit way less than half of those today because we've got kind of a subject matter that I want to hit within this chapter. So let me give you quick highlights. Chapter 6 is really cool. There's some neat stories in chapter 6. Two big miracles, two big signs happen in chapter 6. Right off the bat, at the very beginning, verses 1 through 15, tells the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men, including women and children. They say that number could have ballooned up to where somewhere around 20,000 people that Jesus fed with a happy meal, basically. Like five, you know, a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And the disciples took it from a young boy. And then Jesus broke it. The Bible says he prayed over it and they divided it among the people. And everybody got food. An amazing, amazing story. And it kind of leads us into the rest of the thing that we're going to talk about today. But you just need to remember that Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Then the story goes on. The Bible says that Jesus walked on water. So you may have heard that story before. Today we're not going to talk about that. We do have a series back maybe a year or so ago where we called it Into the Storm, and we went through the stories of Jesus going into the storm and walking on the water. Today we're not going to talk about Jesus walking on the water, but again, amazing story. As you go home, you read about it, you can check it out. It's really cool. One of the things I do want to point out that I like about the walking on water story is this is Jesus' attempt to get away from people. He is trying to escape the crowds. And in today's vernacular, like when we think about today's culture and society, we want to build a bigger crowd. Like, how big of a crowd can we get? How big of a building? How many services can we do? How many chairs can we put out? And that's kind of what we feel is a pride for us. And Jesus has 20,000 people, performs a great big miracle, and then Jesus immediately bolts. He's like, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with the crowd. I'm not about the crowd. And so he's gone. I think it's a really cool story. It shows us the humility of Jesus. But then that brings us to verse 14. This is a weird verse, and it kind of shows you. So we're going from the feeding, and then we've got the walking on water. There's this weird verse 14 and 15, that happens in between the two. And so I want to look at that real quick, because it says they tried to make Jesus king by force. It's just an odd thing that he's being made king by force. And so it says this, verse 14. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, the feeding of the bread and the food and the whatever, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we've been expecting. In the Old Testament, Moses says, there's another prophet coming like me. Listen to him. And so these people, hey, this is the prophet, right? Like, they kind of get it. And then it says, when they saw that, and when Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. Real quick, I want to talk about that for just a second because it's going to set us up for the rest of the chapter. They're trying to force him to be king. Now, there's a term that the Romans used to use. It's called bread and circus. And it's this idea that when the Romans wanted to control a people, they would give them bread and they would give them a circus. And they knew that they could control the people through food and entertainment. It's very interesting that we still live this way today. Right? Something terrible happening in the news. There's something bad going on. We feel like the government might be a little corrupt. I don't know. But what do? Super Bowl. New Marvel movie comes out. Hey, I'll give you a stimulus check. Whatever I can do to control you, if I can feed you and entertain you, then I can control you. And Jesus starts recognizing this pattern in these people's lives. They're not wanting to make him king because they love him. They're wanting him to be king because they want to get out of underneath the boot of the Romans. Their thought process is not, we love this man. It is, he feeds us and he might can free us, let's make him the king. And Jesus recognizes this isn't good. I'm going to get away. So the Bible says he goes up on a mountain, he prays, he spends the night there, he's hanging out, 2 o'clock in the morning, he's walking on the water, because that's what you do when you're Jesus. You just walk on the water whenever you want to go somewhere. The disciples are struggling, he gets in the boat with them, takes them to the other side, and then the Bible says the people start looking for him. They're trying to find him. Well, they do find him. They find him in verse 24. So let's start there today, and here's the pattern you're going to see. You're going to see the people. They're going to come to Jesus for something. They're looking for something. And Jesus is going to give them truth. And then they're going to look for something else. And he's going to give them more truth. And they're going to do this back and forth with their desire and his truth. And at some point, they're going to start choking on the truth. And then we'll get into what that looks like. How many of you ever choked on something before? Man, I have. I've got this weird thing to where I don't know what it is. They don't know if it's an allergy or whatever. My throat sometimes will just close up on food. It'll just shut down. And whenever it does, I mean, it chokes me out. Like I have to go stick my finger down my throat. I mean, I've got to get the food out of there somehow. And so then every so often I have to go and they stick a balloon down my throat and blow it up real big. And then all of a sudden I can breathe again and I can swallow. And so one time it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a Sunday morning, and I get up, and I don't do this anymore because I'm not crazy. I've learned, but I used to get up every morning, and I would take a shot of apple cider vinegar. Anybody do that? All right, you're possessed. Okay, I would take a shot of apple cider vinegar, and one day I took a shot of apple cider vinegar because they say it's healthy for you, and as soon as I took that shot, my throat went, nope, and just shut down. And when it shut down, I was stuck. I was in the kitchen, and I'm choking, and I can't breathe, but there's no food to get out because it's just liquid, and it's in there, and my throat's closed up, and so now I'm trying to figure out what to do, and I think I need to go wake up Perry, but because I'm such a great husband, I thought it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm dying. I'm not going to wake up my wife. I don't want to disturb her rest. But then I thought, what if she finds me dead on the floor later? Then she'll be mad at me. And when she gets to heaven, she's going to be mad at me and it's going to be a bad deal. So I said, forget it. I'm going to go wake her up. And right as I'm running into the room and about to flip on the light, I couldn't yell. And right as I'm about to run into the room, it just released. I went, all right, we're good to go. And I went to church and I preached and it was all good. But sometimes we start choking on things it makes us be a little bit crazy. And today we're going to read a story about a group of people that begin to choke on the truth. And here's the thing, whenever I'm choking on something, I regurgitate it. I get it out, right? Jesus's philosophy that we're going to see in just a minute, it is just keep giving them more truth. We'll just force it down. Like, you're going to see some really cool stuff. So let's get into this. Let's see what the people say. Let's see what Jesus says. Verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied, So I want you to see something. They're looking for him. They're seeking something. But what are they seeking? They're seeking something. What are they seeking? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. Let's pause for a second. Jesus says, the only thing you want from me is bread. What are they seeking? They're seeking bread. They want their bellies filled, right? They're not looking for him to do miracles because they love him. They're not looking for him to minister to them. All they want is their bellies filled. And we live in a society, and I'm sorry, but church sometimes, Christianity has gotten into this to where the reason we serve God sometimes is because we want our bellies filled. There's a bunch of people out there preaching a message, and it's all about you serve God because he's going to give you. Now, I believe God can bless, and I'm all about God's blessings. And I'm all about, you know, if a check shows up in my mailbox, I'll take it. That's fine with me. It's okay. If someone wants to bless me, I'll take it. But I don't serve Jesus because I want a blessing. But these people, the only reason they're following him is to get more food. What do they want? They want bread and circus. They want bread and circus. And then in verse 26, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth. That's going to be our theme from here on out. He's going to give them some truth. So they come to him looking for bread. What does Jesus say? Verse 27. Here's the truth he's going to feed them. He feeds them the truth of, don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. So the first truth today, if you're taking notes, I probably didn't even put it on the screen. But the first truth today is, seek eternal, not material. There's a preacher out in Texas, his name is Robert Morris, and one time Robert Morris, I was listening to one of his sermons, and he said he went on a ride with a friend of his that was very wealthy, and as they were riding along, the guy was talking about, yeah, I own that, and I own that, and I own this, and Robert was like, man, how cool it would it be to own all that stuff, and he said, Robert, it'll all burn. None of it matters. And our mindset needs to be, listen, it's great to have all the stuff. It's great to be blessed. And I'm excited. I'm excited that we've got this building. I'm excited that we've got these chairs. I'm excited that God's moving. I'm excited for a lot of the material things that we have. That's really great. But at the end of the day, it'll all burn. And people ask me, they're like, well, how do you feel about, you know, we've got a gym that meets in here during the week. And so we're set up, tear down, and there's scuffs on places and holes in the wall. And at the end of the day, I'm like, it'll all burn. It doesn't mean I don't want to have a nice place. It doesn't mean I don't want to take care of stuff. But at the end of the day, the material doesn't matter as much as the eternal. If we're not reaching souls, who cares what kind of building we have? We can have the greatest building in the world and be pristine and all go to hell. What worth was it? So Jesus' first truth is, focus on the eternal, not the material. Verse 28, here they come back. I'm telling you, these guys are persistent. And we're persistent too. Like, we want to look at them and be like, these guys, they're terrible. But you're going to find out later on, some of these people were followers of Christ. We want to say it was just those Jews that didn't like him. It was the religious leaders that didn't like him. No. These were Jews that were following him too. There's a whole crowd, a mixed crowd of people that follow him and hate him, and they've all got something to say. Verse 28, it says, they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? When I studied that, I thought, now this looks really good. Like, I like this. Like, maybe these people are getting it. Maybe they said, you know what, you're right, Jesus. We want to focus on the eternal. Let us do the works of Christ too. Let us do the works of God. How do we do that? But whenever I begin to study the wording behind this and the heart behind this, here's what they're saying. They don't care anything about what Jesus is doing. I found this quote of one of the commentaries I read. It said, they're saying, just tell us what to do so we can get what we want from you. We want your miracle bread, and we want you to be our miracle king, so tell us how to get it. Have you ever, fellas, been in an argument with your wife? And you don't know it. Yeah. Adrian's being honest here, but honestly, there's probably 7 or 8 of you that you're in an argument right now with your wife and you don't know it, and you'll find out after the message today. Because here's what sometimes wives will do. Not my wife, she's perfect. But sometimes what other wives will do is they'll be mad, but they don't tell you yet. And they're holding on to that anger, and it's building up. And then we as men, we find out that they're angry. And what's one of the things that, now I know you guys have never done this. And if you haven't, don't ever do this. Learn from Pastor. I'm dumb, right? And there's been times when I've said, well, just tell me what to do to make it right, and I'll do that. Now, on the surface, fellas, that sounds good to us. But let me tell you what she heard. She heard, I don't care about your feelings. I don't even care about you. I just want to get out of trouble. Right? Right? And so that's what we say. Just tell me what to do, and I'll make it right. Just give me the 5 steps to get back into favor with you. And what these people are saying is, they say, we recognize the fact that you're a miracle worker. We recognize the fact that you are powerful and you can do some stuff. So just tell us what to do. Give me the quick steps to get whatever it is that you've got. Can I tell you something? In the kingdom of God, there are no quick steps. The Bible says that the path into his kingdom, the path to heaven, is narrow and hard. it's difficult. It's not easy. There's no easy steps. And so we need to understand this today, that whenever these people are asking, they're just asking for just what's the easiest thing I can do to get by.
So Jesus says this. This is the only, verse 29. This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Now, for those of you that have been in this church for a while, you know that we understand that in the Greek, that word believe there, it's an ongoing term. It doesn't just mean believe right now. It means to be believing, that I'm always believing. I'm always faithful. I'm always trusting that in everything, I'm giving him my best. In everything, I'm following him. No matter how bad the storm is, I'm sticking with him, right? And so Jesus says, here's a work for you to do. This is the most important work you can do. Believe. Believe. With everything you got, with all your guts, believe. So, what do these people do? They just say, yes, Lord, we believe. Nope, they're dumb. Verse 30, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do?
He just fed 5,000 people with a Happy Meal. What else you got for us? Is that not enough? The disciples are probably over there going, please shut up. Please. Please stop. He literally just walked on water. Like, please stop. Like, he knows what he's doing. And they're just like, what else you got for us?
Verse 31. After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. So what are they seeking? So at first they're seeking for bread, yes. And now then they're seeking for a faster way to get the things that they want. But now they're seeking for something else. They're seeking for entertainment. We talked about the bread, and now we're talking about the circus.
Here's how I know it's entertainment and it's not spiritual, because they start focusing on who gave the bread, and they get it wrong. They say Moses gave us bread. And whenever the man behind the pulpit becomes the focus, whenever the man with the microphone becomes the focus, it turns into entertainment, not the gospel anymore. As long as I'm the reason you're coming to church, you're coming to be entertained, and you've made a poor choice. Because I ain't that entertaining. The reason we pursue God is not for a man. We pursue God because he's God. But what these people are doing is they're pursuing the gift, not the giver. They want all the gifts, but they don't care anything about the giver. That's why we don't do, and there's the little kids in here. I'm sorry. Golly, I got to be careful what I say when little kids are in here. In our family, we don't do the big man with the red coat at Christmas time. Right? Why don't we do that? Yeah, cover ears right now. Cover ears if you do it. Because whenever he shows up, nobody really cares about him. They only care about what he brings. I want my kids to know who brought it. I want them to know who the giver is. It's not him. It's me. I'm the giver. Gabriel, that's pride. That's right, it's pride. And I'm prideful at Christmas time. Because I want my kids to know who the giver is. I want them to love the giver, not the gift.
And so it's important that these people understand that. They don't understand it. So here's what Jesus says in verse 32. He says, I tell you the truth. Here's his truth. So he's always given them a truth. The truth is, it was never Moses. And here's what he says. I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
I want you to notice a pattern we're about to see. The truth gets deeper and deeper and deeper as we go. Now, I've got up here a plate. It's a plate of food that is a bad illustration because I forgot my good illustration at home. And so I just found a corn dog in the fridge back there. And I found some carrots that were frozen, but they weren't supposed to be. And I found relish, and we're just going to pretend like that relish is something that's good for you. But have you ever... I told you, if you came to be entertained, you missed it. There's other places you can go. So have you ever noticed, like, whenever we have kids and you try to feed kids and you know there's something bad on the plate? Not bad. It's good, but it tastes bad, right? Like vegetables. And so you're trying to feed your kids stuff. And what do? We start promising the easy stuff last. If you eat all your carrots, then you get a corn dog, right? And then the kids still won't eat the carrot, but you know they got to have a little bit of protein. So you're like, just eat the corn dog. But if you eat the relish, I would love for someone to just feed their kids straight relish. If you eat the relish, then you get ice cream. Like, we always try to make it easier as they go. Jesus is doing the complete opposite. Jesus was like, I tried to give you ice cream and you didn't really care for that. I tried to give you a corn dog, you didn't care for that. So now we're going to just start taking carrots and I'm going to just start throwing them at you. Like, you're going to eat carrots and you're going to eat relish. It's going to get harder and harder. It's going to go deeper and deeper on the message here. The truth is not going to get easier for you. The truth is going to become more difficult for you to swallow here. Verse 34, listen what they said. He says, believe in the bread that came down from heaven. Verse 34, sir, give us that bread every day. And now we have circled back around to more bread. They missed it. Like, they just keep missing it. Give us bread. Jesus says, don't focus on the perishable. Give us entertainment. Jesus says, it was God, it wasn't man. Stop focusing on the man and focus on God. They said, give us more bread. And Jesus is like, guys, y'all are idiots. So verse 35, here's what he says. He says, I am the bread of life. Like, he finally has to tell them, I've been trying to make it easy for you. I've been trying to maybe skirt around a little bit to make it easier for you to understand. And now I'm just going to tell you straight up, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. That's verse 37. I want to stay there for just one quick second on verse 37. What does it mean that the Father gave them and he won't reject them? Sometimes you could construe that to mean that there's only certain people that God is going to give to Jesus. And then once he gives them to Jesus, that they're his forever and nothing bad will ever happen to them. That's not exactly what this means. If you were to look in the Greek, what it means on give, it means to put someone under the protection or the care of someone else. So sometimes if I go out of town and my kids don't all go with me, I will send Colt to my parents' house. I am the father. I'm giving Colt to my parents. Now I'm not giving him away. He's not gone. But what am I doing? I'm putting him under the protection and care of my parents. When Jesus says this, that's what that means. He says God is drawing people in and he's trying to send them to me. He's trying to funnel them to me. But some of you guys just don't believe. Like, your struggle here is in the belief. You've seen me. You saw my miracles and you still just don't believe. So we'll skip down. Oh, and it says reject. Let me focus on that word real quick. The word reject there means this. The picture, the story that goes with that is the idea of someone bringing a peasant to the door of a castle, right? Of a rich man. And the rich man, instead of turning the peasant away, brings the peasant in. I'm not going to reject you. If God brings you and you want to come in, I'm opening up the doors for you. I'm letting you come in. And so that's a cool thing about Jesus. In verse 39, I don't know if I even put this in the notes, but verse 39, he says that he won't even lose one. And then in verse 40, he says, for it is my Father's will that all who see. So just another thing, we said this a couple of weeks ago, how Jesus can focus on the one and focus on the all. He can do all of it. He can do all of it. He can take the whole group of us, and he can also at the same time still minister to the one individual. So it says in verse 40, it's my Father's will to see that all who see his Son believe in him and should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The word there I want to focus on real quick in verse 40 is the word see. It says all that see his Son. And the reason I want to focus on this is because we actually have this same word back in John chapter 3. So if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you will remember in John chapter 3, Jesus said that the Son of Man will be lifted up just as Moses lifted up the serpent. Remember that story, the stick with the snake on it? And we said that whenever the people gazed at the serpent, in other words, they looked at it and they believed in it. And Jesus said the same thing about himself. When I'm raised up on the cross and people look at me, they gaze at me, they see me, they take me in. And so here he's saying that same, using that same terminology again. So he's tying everything back. That's how Jesus does. He's so amazing at how he weaves this same story all the way through. Verse 41. Now we're going to see the people choke. Then the people begin to murmur in disagreement because of what he had said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." I've got a little slide. I think, Emma, if you'll go back one. What's the slide before that? Nope, never mind. I don't have a little slide. So there's a couple of thoughts on the word murmur or struggle here. The people are going to start choking, right? And we're going to call this a struggle. So they're seeking the bread in the circus, and they get truth, and when they get truth, they struggle with it. And today we're going to see that we've got two options. And the first option is to struggle. What does it mean to struggle? Well, I've got some words here. So that word murmur right there also means to grumble. It means to complain. It means to find fault. It means to criticize. It means to be hostile. Now you think about how many times you've sat in a room, whether it's at church or it's at your job or it's in your family, and you started to feel this struggle happen and there's murmuring going on. Murmur is just a word that it means like doves cooing. In other words, it's a whisper. Have you ever been in a place and the whispers begin to start? And the complaining begins to start? I was talking to someone before service today, and I was talking about coaching and how difficult it is to coach. Whenever you're a coach of a team, you don't always make the decisions that make everybody happy. And you start hearing the murmuring and the complaining. And it starts with the kids or the athletes, and it goes to the parents, and it just kind of murmurs and complains. And then people start grumbling. And then they start trying to find every fault. Now all of a sudden, everything you do, there's something wrong. As a pastor, this happens to us all the time. We can feel it. We can sense the murmuring and the complaining. And then all of a sudden, there's fault being found. And then people begin to criticize. And this happens in families. This happens everywhere. And then finally, people begin to be hostile. So whenever they're struggling, this is what's going on. The people begin to murmur in disagreement. Let's keep going. What truth does Jesus give them whenever they begin to murmur? Verse 51. So we're just skipping down. Jesus says this: "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh." Super weird. I'm the bread. Then he says, whoever eats this bread, the bread I'm offering is my flesh. And from the surface, for us in this room, we look at that and we're like, cannibalism. Are you saying we got to eat your flesh? Like, this is really weird, Jesus. But in those days, the Jews would have understood he's talking about a sacrifice. When he uses the term offer flesh, he's talking about a sacrifice that he's saying right here. He's saying, I am the sacrifice. Like, yes, I'm the bread, but I'm also the sacrifice for you. For everyone to be saved, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the lamb. We read that in John 1. I am the lamb that was slain for our sins. Like, Jesus is explaining this to them. But here's what happened. Whenever people are already murmuring and complaining, they begin to find fault and they begin to criticize. Look at verse 52. Then the people begin to argue with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? There's this idea here when it comes to complaining, that complaining will often turn into division. Complaining will often turn into division. And you read this, here's what's happening. It says in verse 41, they murmured, but in verse 52, it says they begin to argue with each other. They're not even arguing with Jesus at this point. Now they're arguing with each other. And remember, we've got a mixed crowd here. We've got people that are serving, they're following Christ, and we got people that are against Christ. And then you got a group of people that just want some more bread, and they cannot figure out how to get it. And Jesus is showing us here, they begin to disagree with each other. They're arguing with each other. So whenever the complaining starts, the next thing that happens is it turns into division. And you see what these people are doing. They're blinded to the simple truth. Because of their anger, they're blinded to the simple truth. And the simple truth is, I'm the sacrifice. They're like, oh, he wants us to be cannibals. No. Verse 53. So Jesus said, I tell you the truth, so Jesus keeps going, like making it worse. Every step, he makes it worse. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, Jesus is like, I'm going all in now, suckers. Y'all didn't like that first part? How about this? You got to drink my blood too. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Here's what we do sometimes. Jesus is saying you have to consume all of it. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you my life. You got to take everything. And what we like to do sometimes is that old trick. Remember when you were a kid and your parents gave you relish and carrots? And remember what you did to get by, to tell your parents that you ate the relish and carrots? What did you do? You give it to the dog, that's right. You stir it around, and if I stir it around a little bit and I make a hole right in the middle, then I can say, I was eating that stuff. I ate it. I just didn't finish it. That's what my kids would say. I ate it, Dad. I just didn't finish it. And I'm like, nah, you just moved it around your plate. Like, the truth is, you're a liar. And you're going to hell for that. So, and what we like to do sometimes is we like to play with our food. And we like to play church. And we like to play Christianity. And we like to pick out the parts that we like, and we like to stir around the parts we don't like. And Jesus gives us truth, and we don't always like it. And so we just stir it around on the plate. Look, I'm serving. I'm a follower. And all we're doing is stirring. And Jesus is telling these guys, that's why he keeps making it worse. He's trying to emphasize, listen, you got to clean your plate. You can't just take parts of what I'm telling you. You got to take everything that I'm giving you. All of it. You got to take the whole truth. But what we do sometimes is we struggle with the truth. We struggle with the truth. And let me tell you what happens. Complaining turns to division. And then here's the other thing. Complaining is contagious. Let's look at verse 60 and we're almost done. Verse 60 says this. Many of the despicable sinners said this is a very hard to understand. Is that what it says? Many of the disciples, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? So all these people are murmuring and complaining, and that complaining begins to divide them. And then that complaining becomes contagious to the point that even his disciples are now complaining about Jesus. What happened was, is you got some disciples that just want to stir the plate. They don't want to eat all the food. Verse 61, Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? I love it. Yeah, duh, they're complaining. Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me.
And then he sums it up in verse 65. He says, that is why I said people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me.
Jesus says, are you complaining? Are you whining? Are you offended? If you're offended, what are you going to do whenever I show up at the judgment? What are you going to do when you see me go to heaven? And all this time, you didn't want to believe. You wanted to play with your food. You wanted to just pick apart the pieces that you liked and you didn't like. And you wanted to have your bread and your circus. But what are you going to do when I'm the judge on the throne? What are you going to do in that final day? What are you going to do whenever I'm the one that's there and all you've done is look for bread and circus? What are you going to do?
Verse 66. This is sad. I'm not a numbers guy. I said that a couple weeks ago.
But I do find it interesting that chapter 6, verse 66.
666. Is to me one of the saddest verses in the Bible. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him.
Deserted him. So complaining leads to division. Complaining is contagious. And division leads to deserting. It doesn't say they left him. It doesn't say they walked away. It doesn't say they took a break. It says they deserted him. When you desert somebody, what you're doing is you are leaving them and you don't care what happens to them. If I were to just walk away from you, I would still care. I would hope, like, if I left today and you guys were still here, I would hope that they still had the air on, and I would hope that someone came up and closed out the service, and I would hope that the worship team led one more song, or whatever the case was. When you desert somebody, I don't care what happens to you. I hope you die. I'm done with you.
They deserted him. And that brings us to the last thing. So you guys, y'all already coming up. You're doing so good. Verse 67, Jesus turns to the 12. Okay, so remember. Sorry, Josh, let me get this. I don't want you stepping in that right there. Josh is like, I'll eat the relish.
20,000 people get fed. He's got 12 disciples, 20,000 people. He's got more disciples than that. They come back, they find him the next day. I don't know how many people came back to find him the next day, but let's say it's thousands at least, 2,000. Let's say 10%, 2,000 come back to find him. And they all begin to walk away from him. Everybody begins to leave. And now he's just left with the 12. And he turns to the 12 and he says, are you also going to leave?
And Simon Peter answers, verse 68, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter says, we believe and we know.
These people, they're seeking something. And I think all of us today, no matter what year Christian you may be, maybe you're not serving Christ at all and you're just looking for something. Maybe you've been serving Jesus your whole life. But we always find ourselves in a place of seeking. We find ourselves in a place of looking for something. And here's the thing that happens to us. As we look for something, Jesus is always going to confront us with the truth. Now the truth is, if we're pursuing Christ, he's opening up the door. He's letting us in. He's saying, I will cover you. I will protect you. I will welcome you. I will not reject you. But if we're just looking for circus and bread, then that truth is going to choke us. We have a choice today. We can either struggle with the truth, or we can sell out to the truth. Peter said, where else are we going to go, man? Where else are we going to go? We believe in you, and we know you're the one. We're selling out. We're giving everything we've got. We'll die on this hill. Why don't you stand up with me this morning?
Now, there's a lot of truths in this passage. I mean, that was 30-something verses that we just went through. The The whole chapter is good. Jesus says a lot of stuff that I didn't even get into everything that Jesus said. But whatever we're searching for today, I believe that he wants to give you some truth. I believe he wants to give you some truth. And what we've got to do is we've got to be willing. Are we going to struggle with it? Or are we going to sell out to it? And here's what he wants. He wants people that are going to sell out. He wants people that are going to sell out. He wants people that say, I'm not going to just stir the food around my plate. I'll take everything you got. I'll take everything you got. And what does it require? Jesus said it very clearly. He said, I want you to believe. I want you to believe. Now, I'm one of those people, we talk about this a lot. Pastor Nathan and I talk about the ideas of truth and grace a lot. So throughout the scripture, Jesus has given us truth and grace. He'll feed you, and then he'll give you truth, right? So grace and truth. And that's John the Revelator, the guy that wrote this. He focuses on grace and truth a lot. And I've told Pastor Nathan and told my dad and sitting in staff meeting, I've told these guys before, I said, I know my background. Like he and I talk sometimes and we talk about how sometimes he may lean a little bit more towards the grace and I may lean a little bit more towards the truth. So I think it's good that we have some balance in the house, right? Truth isn't always bad. Truth is truth. And we need both grace and truth. And today, if you're not serving Christ, the first thing, before you try to worry about, well, I got to get off of this drug and I got to stop, you know, sleeping with this person and I need to quit smoking. And listen, that's not what we're talking about today. You need to believe in him. And when you believe in him, he'll help you quit all the things you need to quit, get off the stuff. And what these people were doing is they were saying, just show me the way. Show me the tools. Give me the things I need to do. And Jesus said, just believe. Like, let's have a starting point, and that starting point is belief. Now, it's not just random belief. It's, I believe with everything that I've got. I am convinced and convicted that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. And whatever truth he gives me, I'll consume it. If he says lay something down, I'll lay it down. If he says pick something up, I'll pick it up. Because I believe that much in him. Why don't you bow your heads with me this morning? We're going to pray. I've got a prayer team that's going to come down to the front, and they want to pray with you today. If you have anything that you need prayer for today, we want to be here to pray with you. We're going to love on you today. We're going to minister to you today. And so if you need prayer, after I get done with this, I want you to slip out of your seats. Josh is going to sing one more song. And after, while he sings that song, you slip out of your seats and come down and let's receive prayer. But Lord God, I just pray right now. I thank you that your word, Jesus, you said this. You said that the Father draws us to Jesus. And today I believe that the Father is drawing us to you. There may be someone in this room today or someone watching online today, and today you're saying, something is drawing me. There's something inside of me that's moving, and that's the Spirit of God, the Father drawing you in today, saying, come to Christ. Come to Christ. The truth is, without Christ, we're bound for hell. But the grace of the matter is that if we'll believe, if we'll give him everything we've got, if we'll sell out, if we'll stop choking on the word and we'll start consuming him, then today he's going to transform your life. Today he's going to save your soul. Today you can be born again and be a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you today, when people come down to the front for prayer, I want you to slip in with them and you come down and you get prayer. If you need healing today, if you've got something going on in your family, you've got something going on in your finances, something happening at work, whatever your issue that may have come up this week, if you need prayer this morning, I want you to slip out of your seat and come down to the front right now.